The Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 1st, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. School districts preparing to welcome back students next week. In some states, and administrators are expressing growing concerns about their budgets. That coincides with different education viewpoints in the Minnesota race for governor.
Northfield Public School Superintendent Matt Hillman says they were able to avoid budget cuts the previous decade, but declining enrollments and other factors led to a $4.5 million reduction plan this year. Hillman adds they can't lean on budget reserves forever.
We see potential budget reductions again on the horizon, and the pressures that we have are no different than the pressures that other districts have. And this is what I hear from my colleagues across the state.
He says a big help would be final adoption of a bill to address shortfalls in special education subsidies. Hillman also welcomes using Minnesota's historic surplus to help districts. DFL Governor Tim Walz had pushed using surplus money to boost per pupil aid. His Republican opponent, Scott Jensen, unveiled a plan that prioritizes using public school funding for private school vouchers. He also wants to phase out the state income tax, which provides education dollars. I'm Mike Moen.
And September is National Hunger Action Month, highlighting the ways people can get involved to fight food insecurity. More on that now from Eric Tegenhoff.
Susanna Morgan, head of Oregon Food Bank, says hunger was a problem in the state before the pandemic. But in the midst of COVID-19's grip, one in five Oregonians faced food insecurity. Although numbers have gone down, she notes that more than a million residents in the state sought emergency food assistance from the Oregon Food Bank Network in 2021. Morgan says a number of factors are contributing to food insecurity right now.
Driven by structural problems in wages, access to affordable housing, access to affordable health care, access to education, and exacerbated by inflation and high costs of fuel, food, and other necessities.
Morgan says federal assistance to address hunger during the pandemic is slowly decreasing, but adds that the state hasn't reached a cliff that would drive even larger numbers of families into a precarious position. On Wednesday, Morgan held her State of Hunger address to kick off the month.
Locals can go to OregonFoodFinder.org to find assistance. And from CBS News, the Justice Department filed a 36-page response late Tuesday to former President Trump's request for a federal judge to appoint a third party to sift through records seized at his Florida residence. CBS notes in the filing, federal prosecutors argued that Trump's request for a special master to review the records seized in the search fails for multiple independent reasons. This is PNS. Salt Lake City, notorious for bad air days this time of year, but there is a silver lining to the brown cloud.
Brief program begins today, providing free use of the entire Utah Transit Authority system on high pollution days. The idea is to get cars and trucks off the roads when the State Division of Air Quality predicts unhealthy ozone pollution levels. Kim Frost with the Utah Clean Air Partnership says it's an excellent time to get to know your public transportation options.
Everything is completely free, so you just show up at any of the UTA bus or rail services, including Trax, FrontRunner, the S-Line streetcar, Paratransit, the Park City to Salt Lake City Connect, as well as UTA On Demand.
Frost says they expect several free fare days in the coming months as the Wasatch Range averages about 25 high ozone days yearly. Higher temperatures and air inversions could bring even more days of bad air as the region already ranks among the top 10 in the world for poor air quality. I'm Mark Richardson.
And a nonprofit group is suing the state of Vermont on behalf of Terminally Ill Connecticut women. At issue is Vermont's medical aid in dying law. Edwin J. Vieira has more from Soundbite Source.
The law stipulates only residents of Vermont are eligible for the services the law allows. One question the lawsuit seeks to answer is what constitutes residency. Under the current state law, a doctor could find one person as a Vermont resident, but the state's attorney general might disagree. Ronald Shems, the attorney handling the case, sees the residency requirement as unconstitutional. He says, like the U.S. Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe v. Wade, this creates another state-level health care disparity.
Health care services should not be limited or dependent on the state you live in. Disease doesn't really recognize state boundaries. I think that there's a practical humanity that underlies our effort.
Shem suggests the residency requirement may also violate the Commerce Clause in the Constitution.
Finally, Erica Lattice lets us know more than 300 elk, deer, moose, and other large animals are hit and killed on Teton County roads each year.
Kristen Combs with the Wyoming Wildlife Advocate says because many collisions go unreported, the actual number is likely much higher. Wildlife Highways in Teton County is a new audio listening tour that was recently launched to alert drivers to the risks of collisions. The app taps data collected by scientists who have been tracking wildlife using GPS collars to identify where wildlife cross roads and highways.
We kind of know where those areas are, and so as you're traveling throughout the county, it prompts people to slow down in those corridors where we know animals are traveling so that hopefully we're reducing rates of vehicle and wildlife collisions.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. You can hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.